Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. This week, our guest on the show is Lafayette Mayor Tony Razworski. Thanks so much for being with us. As you have questions for the mayor during the show today, remember that you can email those to ask, that's A-S-K, at WBAA.org. And we have the mayor on the line. Mayor, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Emily. Good to hear from you.
So lots to talk about, Mayor. Just from yesterday, Governor Eric Holcomb announced increased restrictions for counties on Indiana's color-coded COVID-19 map in the orange and the red categories. We're in orange. So as a reminder for listeners, there are four categories on the map. We've got blue, that's the lowest level, then yellow, then orange, and then red. And the state shifts those colors once a week based on three metrics: cases per 100,000 people, percent positivity, and if those rates have gone up. And Tippecanoe County officials, including yourself, held a press conference yesterday as the governor and state health commissioner were really still kind of rolling out the new guidelines. That was kind of all a little bit happening at the same time. So have you now had a chance to fully look at some of the guidelines that were issued yesterday for the Orange counties?
Yes, ma'am. I've had an opportunity yesterday evening and again this morning to begin to look through those, how those pertain to gatherings in the community, how they relate to some school athletic events and extracurricular and co-curricular activities as they're defined in there. And so, yes, I've had a chance to take a look at those. I think they're good decisions by the governors. I think the data certainly supports that. And, of course, here in Tippecanoe County, you know, we never did go to the 5.0 stage that the rest of, well, not everybody in the state went. There was a few other counties that didn't. But, you know, we had never actually went to 5.0. We had stayed in the 4 and the 4.5. And so, you know, I think these are good steps that needed to be taken, and we'll be discussing those later this afternoon with some of us that are getting together with health department board members and staff.
Right. So you'll be meeting, I believe, with Mayor Dennis from West Lafayette and county officials and, as you said, health department officials to kind of talk about what might need to happen, what might need to change. So from your perspective, what are you thinking about as you head into this meeting, and what are you listening for? What do you think is important to talk about today?
Well, you know, we are working closely with the hospitals and the medical staff, working closely with the schools and the health department to look at the ability to take those necessary steps that keep everybody safe, that are based on science, but also, you know, keep in mind that we do have an economy that we cannot just discount. And again, find those things that I think we've done well here. If there are, you know, incremental changes that need to be made, also have a plan in place if things would continue to get even worse, what would some of those steps might be. And so, you know, we plan to have a robust discussion today. I think in those areas, and we just want to hear from everybody that's there. You know, we stressed yesterday at our meeting on mask wearing, hand washing, you know, doing the things that are necessary from a social distancing standpoint, and just trying to bring, you know, back that message and get people, you know, thinking that it's obvious from the data from the state and the data locally that, you know, the most of this spread is in social settings, the events people are having in their homes and small gatherings. You know, we don't have any, as Dr. Adler said, any identified hot spots in the community. And so, you know, we need to stress the importance of taking those things into consideration. You know, a lot of people have commented to me that they feel there was a lot of Halloween parties, and that people got together for Halloween parties. And, you know, and that may be very true if you look at some of the timing on some of the cases and when some of these big spikes have really began to go up, and you know, count back to Halloween on the 31st. I mean, I can't say that definitively, but some people have brought that to my attention that they think that might have played a role in some of this. And so we'll just have to, you know, keep looking at that and keep stressing that, you know, right now we just need to be careful in everything that we do and remain vigilant.
So I know, you know, yesterday you kind of said you didn't necessarily have a timeline per se on when the results of this particular meeting kind of might be put out there. I believe the restrictions that are put in place by the governor start this weekend. So I guess how are you planning to communicate sort of within this time frame? And I know that this year has involved pivoting in response to what the governor announces pretty frequently. So, you know, the results of this meeting, if they are, you know, markedly different or something that people really need to know pretty immediately, what are you thinking about that?
Well, I mean, typically, you know, when we put things out on the Wednesday or the day before the Wednesday of our normal press conference that we do, I mean, obviously, when the governor's new directives go into effect, those will take effect immediately here in our county. My thought, I don't want to speak for Dr. Adler and the board or anybody else there, but my thought would be if we were going to make some additional changes, you know, we would either try to line those up with the governor's when his start, or we would wait till that following Wednesday and announce it at the press conference. So, again, we will make sure that the information gets out. Nobody is trying not to get the information out, but we want to make sure that we do all understand it, what we're going to do, how it lines up, how we communicate that well with the public, and if it is different than what the governor's doing, how we make sure that that information gets out and we bring clarity to that point, because that is a challenge sometimes, that when you know, things are different, people understanding that. I remember when the state went to the 5.0 and we did not, many people, even though we had the press conference, even though we talked about it, thought that we had. There was even 5.0 parties I saw posted on different Facebook pages, and people were doing a countdown. And, you know, quite frankly, it took quite a while for people to understand that we had not went to the 5.0 that the rest of the state had. And so, you know, those are the things that we have to think about, and how do we communicate that and get that out. So it's not that I don't want to tell you exactly when. It's just we've learned that we've got to do this in a way to try to help people understand if it would be different, or if the timing somehow is different, and we didn't want to set an artificial deadline that we didn't end up meeting as we tried to work through that. But we certainly want to get the information out as soon as possible and as clear as possible for everybody to understand what's taking place.
So I know that certainly restrictions, directives, guidelines have changed and been updated multiple times statewide and not just here. Have you found genuine confusion from people? I have found that sometimes when I have mentioned to someone, did you see what happened today? These are the new guidelines. They missed it. You know, does it feel like an avalanche sometimes for people? Do they feel like it's hard to keep up? What are you finding when you're talking to people about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they do, just because it's kind of the nature of society, and I think, you know, just life. Life is very busy. People are working. People have children. People have daycare. People have all kinds of things in their life. People have other medical issues besides COVID, right? Families going through cancer, heart disease, all kinds of things. And so we are bombarded, all of us in our lives, you know, with information and things that are going on daily. And so I think people do have a hard time, even though this is very important, I do think they have a hard time keeping up, because it is one piece of their daily lives and different things that might be happening in their lives. And so that's why, you know, we try here to do those press conferences that we do. We try to get information out through social media from the different government organizations, because I do think it's hard for people to keep up with and understand. And sometimes when you calculate 25%, 50% based on square footage and this and different things, and you try to explain it, it's just a lot, right? Because people are busy and there's things going on. So, you know, we want to try to make that message as clear and concise as possible. I mean, I've always been an advocate, if we can make things line up as closely with the state as possible, that does avoid a little bit of the confusion. You know, we chose not to, and I think rightfully so last time, and stayed back. And we'll just have to, you know, with these new ones, see where that lines up exactly. But, yeah, in a nutshell, I think it is hard for people to fully keep up and to fully understand, just because the world moves very quickly.
And I think the flip side of that is, we're talking about Halloween gatherings, and I heard about some of those as well. And, you know, we've been having lots of conversations about how people should be handling Thanksgiving, how they should be handling Christmas. Dr. Adler has mentioned people getting sick from gatherings for football games. You know, is some of that, common sense, I guess? Are there things that people should be grasping by now about how to stay safe?
Well, I would think, you know, I would think wearing of the mask, washing your hands, socially distancing, trying not to be, in large gatherings, things that could be super spreaders and things. And I think people are, I think people are getting that for the most part. I mean, it boils down to, you do have some people that legitimately can't wear a mask for a true medical reason. Then you have some folks that are just because they believe it's their right not to, or it's against their rights to have that imposed. So you have some of that. I don't know, exactly what percentage it is. So I think, but for the most part, the basic stuff that we've been talking about, people are getting. I mean, the schools are doing a really good job. I know TSC had to, go back to e-learning, but that was basically from, the folks that driving the buses, being able to get substitute teachers and those types of things. You know, the number of cases actually in the school, when you think of, 24,000 or 25,000 kids between all the school corporations, has been remarkably low. I think the school corporations have done a great job. So I think people are getting those things. I think the harder part, and I'll be the first to admit, it's hard for me also, is talking about things like Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and other holidays, however you choose to celebrate those. That is huge for people. I mean, those gatherings are part of long-standing family traditions, and for some people, it's one of the few times a year they might be able to actually get together. People have such fond memories of those times, and I think that is I'm included, just like Dr. Fauci has said, he is not this year, but he said that's a hard choice for people. He recognizes that, and people have to make those decisions. So I mean, those are big psychological changes for that people have to make, and I think we're still grappling with that, and that's normal. COVID, exhaustion and fatigue is normal. We have to acknowledge that is happening. We can't just dismiss that because it's real for people and mental health issues are real. We just have to try to find a way as a community to lift each other up, carry each other on our shoulders, help people get through those things till we get closer to this vaccine. And, with each passing day, there seems to be increasing optimism within the scientific and medical community that a vaccine at some level, at least for frontline workers and different folks, certainly may, by the end of the year, first part of January, may, actively be being dispersed to places here in the United States. Obviously, it will be months and months and months yet before that gets out to the entire population, but we just have to find a way to help carry people and move people along as we move towards that end goal.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg, and right now we are talking with Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. So talking about the holidays, again, we're talking about multiple households sometimes coming together. It's certainly getting colder outside. It feels like it's officially getting colder outside as of this week. That means people are heading indoors Again, we've talked about pressures on local hospitals. They expressed concern yesterday. Dr. Wickert talked about case numbers go up and then hospitalizations follow that by, he said, 1 to 3 weeks. So we're orange right now. I guess, what are you thinking about? What could change in the local response if the county goes to red? You know, how serious could restrictions get, I guess, as we're kind of barreling towards the end of the year here? I think we know what some of the major issues could be. You know, what's on the table ultimately for dealing with some of that?
Well, I mean, I think we will continue to evaluate that as we currently have, and you have to keep all of your options open. I mean, obviously, nobody wants to go back to a complete shutdown, and I, you know, very, very few people have even suggested that to me that I've just talked to in conversation. But you mean, if there has to be some additional restrictions, I mean, we have to keep everything on the table, and that may be a possibility. We're hoping with the, you know, all of us kind of beating this drum again about masking and staying away and washing your hands, and please don't come to work if you're feeling ill, people getting tested, you know, that we keep hammering that message home. And part of the reason that we're doing that is because we do want to keep people safe. We do want to keep our schools open, and we do want to keep our economy open to the best of our ability. And that's why that stuff is so important, because it allows those other things to continue, you know, so we don't overwhelm the medical system, the hospital system. Those, the men and women that are working there, are doing an unbelievable job trying to treat everyone that needs that treatment. And but they are getting tired. Also, they've been exposed themselves, and you know, they have staffing issues based on exposure and quarantine requirements. And so, you know, it's like I talked about yesterday, we all really do have an individual role that we can help play in this, and everybody really needs to take a deep breath at this time and evaluate that, and we all need to step up and try to do you know, our part. Our frontline workers, police and fire here at Lafayette specifically, you know, we have went back to the most restrictive protocols that we have based on what we were doing earlier in the year in the police and fire departments to try to, you know, continue to minimize exposure for those folks, because the way they work, and firemen live in, you know, congregate housing situations on 24-hour shifts, a few exposures or a few confirmed cases, you know, can take, put a lot of people in quarantine in a very short period of time. And so, you know, we're doing those types of things within those departments. We've went back here at City Hall to closing from noon to 2, so we can wipe down the elevators again and the railing and get all the countertops, you know, wiped down and do that. We did close utility billing. We felt that was a good option. We weren't having a lot of people come back in. Mm-hmm. People have done a great job using electronic options. In fact, we'll never go back to doing things completely like we were before, because it's made us more efficient. So, you know, there are incremental steps that we can all do, and that's what we're asking for all the businesses, all of our stores, you know, everybody to step back and say, okay, what else could I be doing? Or, you know, have we slacked off a little bit? You know, it just drained us for a little bit. How do we renew our energy to make sure that we're requiring the mask, we're keeping the social distancing, we're getting things wiped down, we're setting up, you know, marks on the floor so people know where to stand and do all of those things, and just kind of recommit, you know, try to re-energize ourselves a little bit and help re-energize each other to make sure that we're doing all of those things that allow us to be safe, keep our economy open, keep our schools open, and, you know, push towards, you know, that the vaccine potential. And I feel comfortable, you know, talking about that now, because it does appear that there is some, you know, legitimate opportunity that, you know, legitimate, realistic opportunity based on medicine science that could happen here in the next couple months at some level. And so my hope is that doesn't cause people to relax, but it causes people to actually get re-energized and get more vigilant, knowing that at least a step in the right direction, you know, could possibly be on the horizon here in the next 45 to 60 days. And let's eat just one bite at a time here and just keep getting through it till we get to that next level.
So I wanted to go to something you said yesterday, a couple of things you said. You said, if somebody is really opposed to wearing a mask, now really is the time to let that go. And you said it's not a matter of principle at this point, and it's not a matter of pride. It really is a matter, in my opinion, of your civic duty to take that step to help people and to help yourself. And you and I have had a number of conversations about mask wearing over the past months. And I know, you know, back in the summer when West Lafayette went ahead with a mask mandate ahead of the state mandate, your decision at that point was wait, align Lafayette with whatever the governor decided to do. And I know that you are and have been a mask wearer, but how has your thinking changed from the summer to now, I guess, about what people should in general be asked or expected to do when it comes to wearing masks, if you now kind of consider that, as you said, a civic duty?
Yeah, you know, I think as we move on, first of all, I do, you know, I respect that we all have different opinions about this and many things that happen in this country, and I think civil dialogue is really you know, important, and being able to you know, work through that, and as I said early on, to achieve the maximum level of citizen compliance, whether it's wearing a mask or something else that government has to do before we have to mandate things, mandate fines, you know, do things like that. I always am going to lean towards trying to get the maximum number of people to do something because they feel it is the right thing to do, because they feel it is their duty to do, not because the government is trying to make them do something or you know, imposing that on them through the threat of fines or different things like that. And we've gotten better and better and better. But when you get to a certain point of number of cases, positivity rates, you know, things like that, hospitals becoming, you know, to the point of capacity, then that really becomes, you know, in my mind, that takes us to the next level of, hey, your community, your country is really calling on you at this point, because we are in a place that, you know, this is everybody, I would hope, understand at this point, this is real, this is serious, this is something that, you know, we are getting better at treating, and there are things that are taking place that are helping a great deal, but we are in a critical point, and, you know, it's one of those things, at this point, your behavior is amplified in how it affects other people. If the case, you know, it makes a much larger impact on other people's lives besides your own, and that's a position that we're in right now, and so everybody needs to, you know, they may not agree with it, and they may not think it's right, but in the interest of, you know, how do we take care of each other, how do we ensure that somebody doesn't get sick, that ends up passing away from this disease, or a healthcare worker gets it, you know, we really are at a point where there's just not a good argument for, you know, not putting that mask on and trying to do some of these basic things.
So I am going to shift here towards the end of the show to a different topic. Mm-hmm. So the West Lafayette Police Department announced this week they'll be adding a new position at the force, a social service and crisis response specialist, and they'll be directly involved in crisis intervention. And they'll be referring people who are experiencing mental health issues, experiencing homelessness, substance abuse. They'll relay those people to the appropriate resources and agencies and be working with officers on training, how to handle those situations. And when I talked to Chief Troy Harris about this yesterday, he said this was something they'd been talking about for a couple of years. It's finally kind of come to fruition. What do you think about a role like that for the Lafayette Police Department, I guess? Can you see something like that happening?
Yeah, well, I guess it's just another one of those times where we've not done a very good job tooting our horn over here. We've been doing that for about 6 or 8 years now. Adam Murphy in my office works closely with me, the police department, on referring people that they come in contact with to mental health agencies, helps them get housing, has helped them through COVID, works with Lafayette Transitional Housing, the United Way, the Homeless Prevention Network. He works with the police department whenever we have a homeless camp, so the police department just, you know, or the street department just doesn't get rid of it. He works to put people into to housing. We actually run Shelter Plus Care, where the city of Lafayette actually houses 25 homeless people that Adam Murphy runs. So it's another case where we're not tooting our horn very good. We've been doing that for about 6 or 8 years now. We also have Nora Ashcraft, who's a victim's assistant advocate that is housed in the police department, that helps people that are victims of crimes get housing, get help, kids get to school, get protective orders, all those things. So we actually have two people doing that, and we've been doing it for, I don't know, 6 or 8 years. We've just not done a good job, I guess, tooting our own horn about what we're doing over here, because we've been doing that for a long time.
Well, sure. In terms of connecting with resources, I think that part of what this person's job is to actually kind of assist officers in situations when they're on a call, you know, actively helping to de-escalate in the moment and help figure out what's going on. And so that was even a, you know, part of the question as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to see what that person's training is. If they, I don't know if that person has a PhD in psychology or social work or mental health, or exactly what that position is. I mean, we have 80 some of our officers trained in CID, the mental health intervention, that through NAMI and through the Mental Health Association. So I'd have to see about that. But I mean, you know, I feel like what Adam does, and he gets called all the time, you know, we're doing pretty close to that, and we've had two people you know, working on those things. But we're going to talk a little bit about with the new police station that we're building and some of the software and some of the technology that we're going to be using, that we think it will free up our officers' time to actually look at mental health and look at how we deal with people with substance abuse and addiction issues differently, and how they're going to have more time to do that. And so those are some things that we looked at. But, you know, from what I read in the paper or from what I've seen in the media, a lot of the things that position is looking to do are many things that we've been doing for quite some time.
Okay. And Mayor, that is actually all the time that we have for our conversation today. Thanks so much, as always, for chatting with us.
All right. Thanks, Emily.
And thanks for being with us. You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Send us your questions, as always, to ask@WBAA.org. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of the day.
Over 50% of women in the